All right, next we will have Dr. Wayne Ebelhard talking to us about changes in soil test phosphorus.
Thank you. Good morning. The diehards on Friday. Fantastic. The talk that I'm going to be giving first this morning is going to be on some work that I've been doing with phosphorus at our lone area of continuous rain-fed cotton left in the Delta. The original objective of this study was to actually to evaluate P rates and a product called Avail, which was marketed as a uptake enhancing product. We wanted to look at these products and look at the response to phosphorus under rain-fed conditions. And then after the first few years, we stopped putting the phosphorus out and we started looking at the changes in soil test phosphorus. We wanted to also monitor those levels in the soil as we keep growing cotton in the same areas. So this talk is really going to concentrate on the last two components of this objective. Now, the product we started out with, Avail, a lot of you have heard of. It was originally a specialty fertilizer products company. Later, it became Verdesian, and there's lots of claims in the literature about what it can do or what, on their labels and stuff. It's a partial sodium salt of maleic itaconic copolymer. Now, whatever that is, I don't know, but we were asked to evaluate it. It was being pushed to our farmers, so that's what we did. The study is actually covering a period from 2010 through 2016. This is on alluvial soils in the Mississippi Delta, so even though we got a fairly small area, we still have the proximity of at least three different soil types in the area. We used a randomized complete block design with six replications. We used four rows on 40-inch spacing, 75 feet long. The P rates we started with were 0, 20, 40, and 60 pounds of P. They were applied in the fall except the first year. The first year of this study, we were contacted to do the work, so we actually did not put the P out until the spring. So 2010 actually had two applications, one in the fall preceding the crop, then the second one was in the fall of the year preceding the next crop. So the phosphorus source was concentrated superphosphate, and the Avail we put out at a half a gallon per ton. Now, this is what the plots look like in the field, fairly simple design. What I want to briefly, just very briefly go over, this is the analysis of variance for seed cotton lint and lint percent. Now, we pull grab samples at the time of harvest and run it to a tensile gin to calculate the lint percent. And if you look at, I'm just going to talk about the lints. If you look at the areas in the red bars, you'll see there's no significant differences in any year. Now, this is the treatment effects. If you look at the interactions over on the right-hand side, there's also no significant interaction between the P rates and the Avail. So this is the main effects of phosphorus. Since there's no interaction, we can look at those main effects. So this is, again, there's no significant differences whatsoever with respect to yield from either the P rates or the Avail. So that's not beyond my expectations. This is the lint yields. Now, this is a rain-fed area. So this is the difference. Now, you'll notice that none of these are significant, but you see the range in yields that we had. In 2011, a really dry year. Now, this is rain-fed, non-irrigated. I used to use the word non-irrigated, but I was told that I should use rain-fed because that's what it is. So, but anyway, the last in four out of the 7 years, even under rain-fed conditions of continuous cotton, this field has yielded upwards of 3-bale cotton. So rain-fed without irrigation, so it's been really good yields in there. But, and again, this blue line shows where we stopped putting out the phosphorus. Now, this slide just gives you you just heard a talk about uptake. What I'm going to be talking about now is removal. The plants take up a lot, but if you don't take all the material out of the field, then you've got material, the phosphorus is actually left in the field. So if you look at this for cotton, this is a 1,000-pound lint yield. We're normally figuring 64 pounds N, 12 pounds of P, 33 pounds of K, and 6 pounds of S. So if we're putting on high levels, then you would expect that we would get a buildup. Now let's look at our recommendations. This is Mississippi recommendations for P and K using Lancaster extraction. We're still one of the few states. All of our correlation calibration work is based on the work that J.D. Lancaster did a long time ago. So, you know, there's been questions about, you know, using the different Malic extractions, but our correlation calibration is based on Lancaster, so we're still running Lancaster. But see, if we're in the high range, then our recommendation is for no P. So just keep that in mind. This is 2010, this is the soil data. Now for us, high range of P is above 75. So right now, if you've got soil test levels here of over 110, then would you expect to get a phosphorus response? No. But now, based on the protocol, didn't matter what the phosphorus level was, we were put it out there, so we did. So, and this is 2010, so I'm going to run through these fairly quick because I want you to see what's happening. Okay, the zero. Now, one of the things that Larry Oldham, who's with the Extension Service over at Starkville, is doing is looking at changes in soil nutrient level with nothing going on except the time of year. He's looking at this diurnal changes in P and K and everything. So one of the things that's going to be interesting here, okay, we started out, this is the first year. Now these samples were taken after the first crop was grown. So we're still looking at levels. You can see that even with the 60 pound of P application, now this is P, not P205, this is P, that even at the high level, they were not as high as they were at the other. So, you know, what's going on here? Nobody really can tell me, and I can't explain it. We go to 2011. Now, there were significant differences in 2011 with the response to P, but notice that the 0, 20, and 40-pound levels are actually lower than they were the year before. And I'll get to showing you maybe why this is going on in just a little bit, but notice in this case that the 60-pound level is now significantly higher than either the 0 or 20. So that says that we're building it up in there, that we're getting a response to the higher levels. Now, 2012, everything looks fairly even though we put out. Now, 2011 was a low-yield year. 2012, we were back up at about 1,500-pound lint yield. Now, all of the soil phosphorus levels are pretty much the same, even though we've been putting on the 20-pound, we put on 20 pounds and for the 2010 crop, 20 pounds for the 2011 crop, 20 pounds for the 2012 crop. So we're putting phosphorus out there, but it's not really showing any buildup in 2012. 2013, the levels are up even higher, but again, there's no significant difference in any of them. This is 2014. You see a little bit more stair-step difference here. Now we're looking at residual. We've stopped putting out phosphorus fertilizer now. Now we're just looking to see what happens to the phosphorus levels if we quit putting out fertilizer. Because one of my soapboxes is that if you're above recommended levels and you're still putting out fertilizer, you can give me that money. I'll be glad to take it because I promise you, you're not getting a benefit from putting it in the field. If you keep putting money in the bank and never take it out, who benefits? The bank. You don't. So one of the things that I really talk to farmers about is being able to put the fertilizer out if you need it. If you don't put it out there. 2015, now you're starting to see that, okay, the levels are starting to drop. Now, we've had pretty good yields. Now, 2015 yields were only in the 1,000 to 1,100 pound range, but we still had a drop in all of the levels. Now look at 2016. Okay, we just got these samples analyzed just recently. Now we're down into that. In fact, the bottom, the zero, is an area we probably need to look at a phosphorus application on. We've got maybe a 50% chance a response to phosphorus here. Now, we're not going to do that because I want to look this coming year to see if these drop any further, because this was a really, really dry year. So I'm curious, these numbers have really dropped fast. So, but there is significant difference here. The higher the 60-pound rate is significantly higher in the soil test values. So if we look at, these are the test with time. So if you look at 2010, you can see how we built up from 111. We got up as high as 134. But now, okay, we didn't apply any phosphorus there. But we've seen a steady increase in the available P. Now, I know it's possible that we're moving phosphorus material around in the field because we are putting it out broadcast. We subsoil across the row, so we do get some movement around. But there's more movement than I expected to get. But, you know, in every year, some years we see a significant difference, some years we don't. So just briefly here, the fertilizer management goals, if we look at our four R's of nutrient stewardship, we're looking at the right time, the right place, the right rate, the right time, the right source. Well, in this case, we're using the main source that's available. But this is the framework, no matter what nutrients you're working with or what crop you're working with. And there's five basic questions that we have. And those questions are, is fertilizer really necessary? Now, this one's a fairly easy one for me to answer to start with. No. Our soil test levels were already above recommended levels where we would expect to see a response. So how much fertilizer would be economical? None. This is where we started. Now, it's going to be interesting to carry this a little bit farther to see if we actually can keep pulling it down. We're pulling it down much faster than I thought we could. So, but, you know, but that's the main thing. Now, one thing, this is the last slide I want to show you data-wise, and this is how much phosphorus we're actually removing. So even at the highest levels, if you go down to 2016, where we're removing pretty much the highest phosphorus levels across the board, if you look all the way through, we're still only removing 108 pounds of P over that seven-year period. Now we put on, under the 60-pound rate, we put on, through the first 4 years, we put on 240, and we've taken off 108. So we should be building it up. So something isn't according to Hoyle. Anybody know what it is? If you do, let me know and get with me because I'm trying to figure this thing out. In summary, you know, we saw no significant response to increasing P rates. We saw that, you know, we had really high yields, even for rain fed, except for 2011, which were about 50%. Below what we had the other years. Of course, this was a no-brainer for me after a few years that this product didn't make any difference for us. There are some places you might find where it has, but for us, it's not. But what I want you to realize is that we still need to routinely soil test so we know where we are. And then use your savings. If you've got high enough levels in the soil that you can remove some from the bank, you're ahead. So with that, I'll be glad to have, if there's time for questions, minute 17.
Yes, we have a minute for questions.
Any questions? I'm sorry?
What was your soil pH?
The soil pH on this area is running in the 6.5 range. It's pretty good. Even under rain fed, most of the time in our area, and the question was about soil pH in this area. With irrigation, we tend to raise pH some because of the liming effect of water. But this is dry land or rain fed, so we don't see a great deal of change. We're not using that high rates of nitrogen, so you don't expect to see much drop off. The area has been limed over the years, though, so we do keep track of that. And the area was limed. In fact, one of these years we did put lime out. I don't remember now which year it was, but it has been limed, so we do keep up with it. Oh, no.
What do you see in here?
In Illinois, it was 9-1. You know, so it varies. That's one of the things that's really frustrating, because it seems to vary a lot in terms of how much you see change. And that's why I think some of the work that Larry's doing on this changes with doing nothing. You know, some of the work I think in Arkansas says there's as much as a 2x difference in some of those things. You know, just with doing nothing, taking the sample now, taking it 6 months later, and it's twice the difference. I don't know. It's red now.
Thank you.
Thank you.